Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the latest episode of the Pig Odyssey, podcasting's widest ranging look at the pig scene that's ever been attempted.
Yeah.
And I think that we are back on track with the Tamworth 2.
Let's hope so.
Is that right? Is that sound
I think that's
right
where we sort of hoped to be heading, was to complete the story of the Tamworth 2.
Yeah. I've got the Wikipedia page in front of me for as an information source. Actually, I don't, to be honest.
I've got it.
I'm lying.
I've
got it. I had it. I've closed it down. I got distracted.
I've got it.
It's good pig news coming up later on. I've got an overview of latest pig news from around the world.
Oh.
Some very interesting
pig
stuff.
Pig bulletin.
Yes. Because, of course, pigs, it's not history. Pigs are ongoing to this day.
Yeah, you've got to keep...
Pigs evolve.
You've got to know your history to fully understand...
Of course you do.
...the present situation. Same as with Russia and Ukraine. Very similar situation to the pig situation, if you think about it.
Yeah. Just look back in history.
There's something going on now, but if you really want to understand it, you need context. So before we start dating you on what's been going on in the last week, even the last hour, in the world of pigs, you have to understand the big moments in pig that have gone down in the past.
Yeah.
And few have been bigger than the story of the Tamworth too.
Yeah. Pig, like all branches of history, pig history repeats itself.
It does, yeah. Do we ever learn? Do pigs ever learn? No, I don't think they do. The Tamworth 2 were a pair of pigs that escaped while being unloaded from a lorry at an abattoir in the English town of... We've been through this, but I just want to recap. Malmesbury, Wiltshire, in January 98. The pigs, which were later named Butch and Sundance... After the film, were on the run for more than a week, and the search for them caused a huge media sensation, as well as immense public interest, both in Britain and abroad.
They did.
Yeah, and that's... We hate on Britain and the British quite a lot on this podcast, which is a shame because we are British. There's no getting away from it. But sometimes, you know, you sort of think, oh, God, it's so awful and embarrassing being British. Like, it's so stupid. But then some things just remind you that actually there are good bits. If we could just get rid of the shit bits, there's something worth saving. And yeah. I think that the way in which there could be, the way in which our media can... cause a sensation that captures the imagination of the entire nation over two escaped pigs. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. And there'll be cynics who go, yeah, huh, great distraction by the mainstream media trying to distract from the fact that the real problem that's going on round here is that the beaches are full of E. coli. Right. And I'm going, yeah, no, you're right. The beaches are full of E. coli and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes... It doesn't serve anyone to just wake up every morning and think that the only legitimate way to live your life is to think only about negative things. Sometimes you need to be inspired by good things. And two pigs taking one look at a fucking abattoir and literally going, fuck that, and just fucking off and going on the run for weeks is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need to look deeper. You need to find out who these pigs belong to
big
pig. And how much he's been paid by the establishment to release these pigs just at this time now when there's a bill going through about racism and how racism is apparently good now.
They're legalising racism under your fucking noses, but you're all happy to clap along to two pigs on around. The run. I actually know all about politics, and they call this a dead cat. They call this the dead cat technique. Although in this case they probably call it the dead pig, and it's just to distract you from the real story.
Shut up, get on board, love the pig story, love pigs. Butch and Cassidy, they're living life in the way that we all wish to. In many senses we're all facing the abattoir, aren't we? But Butch and Sundance said no, not for us, not today. Not in this life.
It's a parable about all of our mortality.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, we got to the point where the pigs were estimated to be worth £40 to £50 each, which we thought was low.
Yeah.
But then this was 1998, so I mean, I don't know. And their owner was a council road sweeper called Arnaldo Di Giulio. I mean, yeah.
Wonderful.
Maybe that does need to be looked into. Maybe that was a made up man.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe it was a distraction technique. And he is, a council road sweeper. And he stated that he still intended to send the pair to slaughter should they be recaptured.
I tell you this.
Yes, I understand.
I tell you this,
my friend.
These
pigs have captured the hearts.
Then a lot of people love what they do. A lot of people inspired by the magical story. But I tell you one thing. I catch these pigs.
Not
I still have them slaughtered.
Not all stories have happy endings, huh?
I catch these pigs. And then he turned to the camera on BBC News. He said, Butch Cassidy, if you're watching now, and I suspect you are, I will catch you. And when I do, I will have you slaughtered.
And he drew his finger across his throat.
It's night,
slowly.
Night, piggy. And I turn you into
all the
spicy
chops.
Sausage like my mother used to make.
Gonna make you into so many chops, baby. And after that statement, he was offered large sums of money by media outlets and animal lovers to save the pigs from the dinner table. Well, again, you know, this could have all been a big ploy to make some money for Arnaldo. Eventually, it was the Daily Mail who bought the pigs from him in return for exclusive rights to their story. Oh, they weren't a fucking interview when they got captured. The Daily Mail were going to get the first dibs on it. Butch was eventually captured on the evening of the 15th of January, which means that will have been... What date was it that they escaped? 8th. So they were on the run for a week.
I feel captured. That in my mind it was like a year. I'm astonished that it was that quick. In my mind, this is like one of the biggest stories of that era. And I'm like, oh, yeah, do you remember when those... It's like if you turn around to me and said, Sam, take a guess at how long the miners' strike went for. And then I'd probably say, oh, fucking hell. I don't know, it must have been a couple of years. And you went, no, it was a week. The miners' strike lasted a week. Yeah. I'm like, fuck me, it made a lot of news for a week, didn't it? Yeah, it's a common misconception. How long was the Falklands War? A day.
Yeah.
It was a 24-hour war.
I mean, you might have been a bit young for this, but I've got a comparison, which was when Hercules the Bear went missing in Scotland in the forests in 1980.
Yeah.
And he was gone for 24 days, but that felt like months. Because,
And what about,
and it was
the
end of the summer holidays as well. So, you know, there was nothing else going on. It was 20th of August.
In the 70s, wasn't there a giraffe that was dying that people were quite invested in as well? I'm sure my brothers have told me about a giraffe that that they felt sort of quite affectionate towards.
Yes!
Yeah, what was it called? Jeffrey or something?
Victor the giraffe. In 1977,
what's his story?
Oh, this might be.
Yeah, And I think he died around the same time. What year did Elvis die?
That is 77.
Yeah. So there was graffiti in Brentford where we lived, and it said something like, someone sprayed Elvis Lives on a wall as you were driving through Brentford. And then the giraffe died, someone crossed out Elvis and wrote Victor.
It was about 6 weeks after Elvis's death. Yeah. Victor the giraffe, he slipped, did the splits, and couldn't get up.
Oh, fucking hell. What did he... Fucking hell. How can they... If you're in charge of giraffe... I mean, look, I've never been in charge of an animal at a zoo. I would love to. It's one of my dreams, is to be put in charge of one of the big five at a zoo, but not yet. And so I'm not an expert, but... If I was put in charge of the giraffes, the first thing I'd say to my team is, right, the number one thing you've got to watch with these giraffes is don't let them slip over. Because look at the size of the cunts, look at their legs. If they slip, they're fucked, we're fucked, everyone's fucked. So no banana skins, right? Nothing slippy, no custard on the floor,
no mud,
no jelly, nothing like that, okay? I want their ground to be as dry as a bone.
There's more. It says here on the BBC, no less. Nobody quite knows what Victor was doing at the time, though some suggested it may have involved his lady friend, whose name was Dribbles.
The dribbly giraffe.
As the days passed and Victor still laid on the ground, legs splayed, his plight became a local news story. Letters of support arrived from all over the world. I must send a letter. I must send a letter at once to the giraffe.
I'll tell you what, this fucking giraffe business is driving me round the bend. It's all I can think about. I'm going to have to do something. I know. Get here. Fetch me Basildon Bond. I'm going to write the cunt a letter. But he's a giraffe. He can't read. And anyway, you're Portuguese.
They read it to him.
Don't worry. Someone will translate it to him.
They'll read it out to him. He needs moral support. Yeah. Portsmouth dockyard workers made a sling which was used in an attempt to hoist Victor back onto his feet, but to no avail. And it's a sad story. It's a sad ending.
It's really sad.
He never did stand again, and eventually he died in the arms of his keeper.
Oh, it's like that bit in Return of the Jedi when that monster dies.
Or Bambi.
Yeah, but when the monster dies, his carer like cuddles him as he dies. That's the comparison there. It's really horrible to see the heartbreak that the death of an animal can cause to its human owner.
Well, he suffered a heart attack and he torn a muscle in his leg, so he was. But there's a bit of a happy ending after the sad ending. Dribbles gave birth to a female calf the next summer.
So and it was Victor. It looks as if, do we know it was Victor's? I don't know. Dribbles with a nickname like that, she might have been putting it about a bit.
Well, I don't know. I think there was only two of them in the pen. So if it wasn't it wasn't Victor, it was probably the keeper.
They found out she was slipping out at night to meet up with other giraffes while he was asleep.
Putting it about,
wasn't she? You don't get a fucking Dribbles nickname like Dribbles birth. By accident.
She gave birth to a female calf. So it looks as if Victor's final glorious act before he did the splits was having it off. So he was having it off so vociferously
that
he went into the splits.
He collapsed.
And collapsed, and that was it.
Yeah.
So there you go. I
don't know if you've ever imagined Peter Crouch and Abby Clancy in Congress. But it's
pretty similar.
Similar thing, sort of situation. I bet he gets carried away. He's an enthusiastic chap, isn't he, old Crouchy?
I'm not suggesting there's a harness involved, but there might have to be. I don't know.
It's none of my business, of course, but I reckon those two have a really great sex life.
Yeah. It's none of my business, of course, but I'm about to speculate on their sex
life. It's none of my business, but that's just what I've thought privately.
Yeah, for a long time.
You know, I saw them once on an easy jet back from Sardinia.
Did you?
Yeah, and I thought to myself, fucking hell, look at them just getting on a normal flight. I think he was still playing at the time, maybe towards the end for like Stoke City.
Right.
And I was like, but at that time, it was only, I think if you wanted to fly to like Olbia, which is where I usually fly to if I go to Sardinia, you could only get EasyJet there, right? And from Gatwick. Well, there you go, then. And that's where he obviously wanted to go. So it was either a private jet, right? Very expensive, even if you are professional, or get on the EasyJet. So he gets on the EasyJet, but he's queuing up. And there was a long queue at this was at the Italian end at Olbia. And I thought,
did he not have speedy boarding?
Well, I think he had speedy boarding, but we all know what fucking now speedy is speedy boarding. I mean, I've done it. I doubt you're too canny to splash out on speedy boarding because you'll do your diligence and know that it's a rip-off. Whereas I've had it loads of times, even though every time I find out that there's nothing fucking speedy about it, mate, right?
Well, I'm the prick who sits there in the departure lounge while everyone's queuing to get their passports checked and get on. And I'm like, look at them standing up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit down. I'll be last one on.
Yeah. I'm superior to all of those cunts. But yeah.
I'm not a holidaymaker. I'm a traveller.
So speedy boarding didn't really do much for them. And I thought, fair enough. I did notice when I got on the plane that he'd probably paid the extra for the seats at the front. He was sitting in the front because that gives you extra legroom, right? Which obviously you'd need. But then at the other end, I was fixated upon it. I was saying to my wife, I can't believe they're on this flight. And she was going, don't be ridiculous. You know, he's a down-to-earth guy. And anyway, what's the alternative? Because you can fly to Rome, but then you've got to get a ferry, and it's a long ferry. So he's like, probably thinking, fuck that. I just want to get straight there and start enjoying my holiday. But then at the other end,
he might be scared of ships.
He got off. He got off the off the plane, and waiting for him and Abby Clancy was one of those wonderful little golf buggy things that they have. And they both climbed on it, and they fucking zipped past the rest of us to beat us to, like, the luggage and the passport control. And that, but to be fair to him, he did look shamefaced as he went past us. I remember his face. He was sort of looking down because he thought, yeah, I know, I'm really, like, fucking taking the piss out of you lot here. I'm utilising my status. So, because he thought, I've been a man of people by getting the EasyJet, but at the same time, there are limits to what I'm prepared to put up with.
I'm not getting on that fucking bus.
I'm not getting on that stupid shuttle bus. Fuck that.
Standing there, nose to nose with
everybody. Yeah, with your fucking nose in some fucking cunt's armpit. Exhausted because you've been up at 5 a.m. By this stage it's 4 p.m. and you've got your fucking nose in some fucking sweaty armpit on the shuttle to the fucking to get your bags. He thought, fuck that. And fair enough, I don't think either of them are I think they're the real people's prince and princess, and they shouldn't have to endure.
I like to think technology's advanced so much now that if Peter Crouch were to do the splits and was unable to get up, I think that they could probably sort it out in an hour or two, maybe a day at the most.
Well, they
he wouldn't perish.
You know, we're making this just after, sadly, that submarine imploded looking for the Titanic, which was a real shame. But let's not, you know, it made me think of on a happy outcome to one of these sorts of global dramas, which is about 12 years ago now, when they managed to save them Chilean miners, didn't they?
They did, that's right, yeah.
And everyone got involved in that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like NASA.
Everyone, like Puff Daddy.
NASA, the lot. Puff Daddy was down there. Yeah. Gazza was there, obviously, with his fishing rod. Puff Daddy turned up and started dancing. Yeah.
Enrique Iglesias and Julio Iglesias.
En Reitel, the voiceover artist.
Was there doing voices.
He was doing voices down to entertain them.
Did voices of them all as they came up.
No, he was shouting, because to keep their spirits up, he had this sort of tube that he could do impressions down, and then they would send up requests. But the problem was that most of the requests that they were doing were like for people who are only famous in Chile. En Reitel hadn't heard of them, so it was like...
It didn't have the cultural references. Yeah,
but it was nice of him to go there anyway, I thought.
They asked him to do Ronald Reagan, but he said, no, it was Christopher Barry that did him.
I can't do him, sorry.
I can't do him. I'll do Neil Kinnock.
I can do Roy. Ooh. I can do Roy Hattersley. Do you know Roy Hattersley? It's more visual, really, because I do a lot of spitting and dribbling while I talk, but it's fucking funny.
Yeah, Chilean miners, good times. So Butch was captured 7 days after disappearing when she and Sundance were spotted foraging in the garden of a local couple, Harold and Mary Clark.
All right. What's all this? What do you mean, what's all this?
We're foraging.
We're fucking foraging. Ain't you heard of us? We're the Tamworth too. We're on the run.
Have you seen the news?
We're hardly going to just walk into fucking Budgins and buy ourselves a fucking meal deal, are we? We haven't got any fucking money. And anyway, we get caught, so we're going to have to forage.
Well, this is my private property.
I think this was...
Well, call the old building. Yeah. I'll be gone by the time they turn up, darling.
Yeah.
Unless you've got any turnip tops for me, in which case...
Yeah.
Fucking get a shift on, get them out here, I'll gobble them up and then fuck off and leave you to it.
I think Raoul Mort was inspired by that element of the story because he was caught nicking tomatoes. He came out of the forest he was hiding in and nicked some tomatoes out of someone's greenhouse, then fucked off back into the forest.
And that's how they caught him.
So he probably, well, they spotted him. I think it was the day before they eventually caught him, but he was spotted in the town.
His taste for tomatoes was ultimately his undoing.
Lust for tomatoes, yeah. I mean, surely there's enough to eat in the forest. There's like leaves and stuff. You know, tomatoes are mainly water anyway, aren't they? Like cucumbers.
I know.
Jalapeño.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
For me, I don't say this in front of my wife too much because she's a tomato fan. But I'm just like, yeah, tomatoes, whatever. We've always got loads of them in the house, those little cherry tomatoes. Mind you, cherry tomatoes nowadays, when we were younger, cherry tomatoes seemed like some sort of mad, exotic fucking lunacy, like a delicacy. Now, you go into a shop and it's harder to get a normal size tomato. But whatever shape or size they are, me personally, I'm like, tomatoes, they're all right. But... Yeah, half of them.
They give me a bit of indigestion, actually.
They don't really.
I get a bit of acid.
They don't taste
of
much. Do you know what I mean? Half the time. So.
I think if you buy those expensive ones that come on the vine.
They call them heritage tomatoes. And the first time I saw that phrase used, I was in like a restaurant or a posh cafe. And I said to them, excuse me. And I wasn't trying to be facetious or clever. I genuinely thought. I was interested. I said, what is a heritage tomato? And the waiter was like, what? And I was like, what is a heritage tomato? And they just went, well, it's like a tomato that's part of our heritage. And I was like, oh, so it's better. And they went, yeah. Right. And I was like, all right, I'll have that then. And it did taste better than the cherry tomatoes you get from Esther's.
The ones I'm talking about are the other ones that come from Italy, and they're kind of like
And then there's something about that that makes me feel it makes me feel slightly Caligulan if I'm like I have to have my tomatoes flown over from fucking. I mean, it is mad, isn't it? It's like See those tomatoes? I don't know. They're not quite nice enough. They're not, I don't know what it is, but they're not like sweet and tasty enough. Apparently it's because like there's not enough natural sun on them. But in Italy, they grow with much more natural sun. So what I want to do is I want you to fly on a plane tomatoes from Italy. But won't they go off? Well, you're going to have to fucking work that out. You're going to have to fucking work
they
out
go, they?
Some That's sort the of thing. Chilling system that they do not go off. But I need, and you're going to have to get them here quick. So I want them picked, packaged, put on a plane, flown over, and put on the shelves of Asda and Sainsbury's within 24 hours, or I'm not going to be happy. It's mad,
isn't
it?
It's the world we live in, Sam.
It's the world we live in.
It's the world we live in.
Yeah.
The alternative is that Britain becomes a prison island. We only eat tomatoes that are grown here, which, as we've just said, is a load of shit. So, you know.
Well, I think we should go back to nature. I think we can grow nice tomatoes. You know. Is it?
You think?
You, of course, you're also supposed to eat seasonally, aren't you? Like, that's the other thing. Is you go, I want, I don't know what season anything is. Well, strawberries, they're summer, aren't they? But outside of summer, you can still get them over from fucking Peru or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what we used to have. We were kids, you never used to get strawberries unless it was a summer.
Now everyone wants everything all year round. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What do you think? Is it progress or not? You want to go back seasonal again?
I think you should go seasonal. Yeah, I think you should really. Hell. Yeah, I'm not mad on. I mean, I'm not saying I like. There's always shit in my fridge that's from all over the fucking world, out of season, all the rest of it. And sometimes I pick it up and I look at it. I might look at some green beans out of the fridge.
Roll your
and
eyes.
And it says these have come from fucking Chile.
Peru.
And I look at them and I go like this, Sandy. And then I just eat them.
But do you not care about the Peruvian or Chilean economy?
Nah, fuck them.
You know, exporting tomatoes and strawberries.
Nah, fuck them.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, fast.
I've got enough on my plate about trying to support the fucking Chilean bean fucking growers.
We're British.
Yeah.
And we look after our own.
Grow your own fucking
if
stuff.
If we go away seasonal, we will.
And I've got an idea for it as well. All this shit that they're throwing in the river and the sea. I've just heard breaking news from my wife that it might be that I can't go in the sea at fucking Isle of Wight this year. And I said,
I'd expect so, yeah.
Why? And she went, because it's full of shit.
Full of shit.
And I was like, I've been going in that sea for 20 years and it never done me no harm. I'll go in that sea. And she went, no, but I said, if there was shit in it, I'd have known by now. She went, no, but in the last year, there's extra shit been put into it. All the fucking British beaches, they're stopping you getting in the sea now. And I'm fucking angry about this because I love on a hot day getting in the sea in the Isle of Wight. So I'm thinking all this shit that they don't know what to do with, so they keep dumping it in the sea and the rivers. You could be using that to grow fucking tomatoes out of.
Well, yeah, something. Yeah.
Something to think about. That's all I'm saying.
I promise you I will think about it later on. Butch was captured foraging in the garden of Harold and Mary Clark. Sundance escaped back into the thicket, but he was flushed out the next day by two Springer Spaniels and was tranquilised with a dart gun.
Oh, the cunts. This reminds me a lot. When it says he was flushed out, it reminds me a lot of, you know that film The Fugitive and Tommy Lee Jones is chasing Han Solo. And he's like, I want every outhouse, dark house. And there, you know, in
shit house.
Yeah, that's it. He goes, and shit house across this county line. That's what it was like with Butch and Sundance. Flush him out.
Yeah.
Flush that motherfucking pig out. Why no one's ever made a film of this, I do not know.
He was flushed out, and RSPCA Inspector Mike Harley said he had a very thick skin and two darts bounced off him. Sundance was taken to a vet who examined him, and said he's a little bit shaky but doesn't appear to be any the worse for it. I am quite confident he will make a full recovery. Of course he fucking will. He's a pig. They're robust. They're talking a lot about Sundance, but not much about Butch. Oh, dear. Precautions had been taken at the vet surgery to make sure he did not escape once more. The vet says there are padlocks on the doors, which are more than 6 feet high and chained together. He's obviously quite bright. He's foxed a number of people for a number of days. I don't want to spend another day chasing around Malmesbury. And afterwards, it was discovered that Sundance was a crossbreed and one of his parents had been a wild boar, possibly explaining his rebellious temperament.
Yeah.
So, and they lived on at the Rare Breed Centre, an animal sanctuary near Ashford in Kent. And in 2009, readers of Press Gazette voted the Daily Mail's coverage 25th in a list of the best journalism scoops of all time. So that's wonderful. Quite something, isn't it?
Wonderful stuff.
Any other mentions? I mean, the story of the Tamworth 2 has been retold in media coverage of other animals' escapes. December 2001, a turkey escaped from a farm and walked 3 miles to a bird sanctuary. It's not quite the same.
No.
But April 2009, I can't remember this, 180 pigs escaped from a lorry that was taking them to the Malton Bacon Factory in York. Fucking hell.
Go on, lads, let's go. And
after it was involved in an accident, but I guess they must have got round up.
My favourite is Flavio the Lynx. Flavio the Lynx in 2016. That, for me, in my long and auspicious journalistic career, is one of my highlights because I covered it every day on my drive time show. On talk radio, and I even got a special jingle made up that went bom 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 Lynx Watch, and every day we would go to a reporter that I had hired specifically down in Dartmoor in Devon to give us daily updates on the adventures of the Flavio, who was a lynx, and he'd basically gone. They'd put him. I don't know where they'd brought him from, but they brought him from the wild and they stuck him in captivity at Dartmoor Zoological Park. And within like moments, it was a proper, he took one look around. It's like, you know, it Ray Liotta in Goodfellas, there's a scene where he's released from jail and he's been in jail for quite a few years. And
fucking
and he, yeah. And he goes, and his wife drives him back to the house where she's now living, right, with the kids.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, we've got everything ready for you. We've got a party." And he walks into the house,
domesticated,
and it's like a small, it's a nice but quite small domestic suburban home, pretty dark. Yeah. And he looks around. And she goes, "Aren't you happy to be back?" And he just says, "Karen, pack up your things. We're moving out." And she goes, "What?" And he goes, "Don't worry about it. We're leaving, right?" And he just looks at her and thinks, "Fuck this, right?"
Yeah.
And that reminded me of Flavio the Lynx, because Flavio the Lynx got put in this fucking, like, quite nice sort of setup they'd got for him. And within, like, moments, he just looked around and went, "Fuck this," and he just burrowed his way out and fucked off. And then he was on the run for most of that summer, which is how I got to milk the story and stretch it right out, because every day they tried different things. They had drones looking for him and everything. And
fucking hell.
They couldn't, they just couldn't find him. And then by sheer coincidence, and it was a real genuine coincidence, as I'm looking into the story more, I said, "Oh, we should get the zoo owner on," right? The zoo owner was a guy called Benjamin Mee. And I went, "Oh, I used to work with a bloke called Benjamin Mee years ago on Men's Health magazine." Turns out it's the same bloke. He was a journalist, whoa, right? And he worked on that magazine, and I knew he was a really nice guy, so I got to know him. He was very helpful to me. And since then, he'd fucking, through one thing and another going on in his life, he'd wound up fucking buying a zoo. And that film, We Bought a Zoo, with Matt Damon, is about him.
Whoa!
And I didn't know any of this until Flavio the Lynx went on the run I became obsessed with Flavio the Lynx. I started covering the story. Then I go, get this zoo owner on. I go, oh, I know Benjamin. He comes on air and goes, it's me. We work together. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. What are you doing owner zoo? And we had this conversation on air, which was really weird. And then I called a mutual friend and said, go, it's fucking amazing. I just caught up with Ben May, da da da. And he's gone, my mate's gone, yeah. Oh yeah, he bought a zoo a few years back. And I went, it's like that film. He went, like that film? It is that film, you cunt. They made it about him. Fucking incredible, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Right now, our official diversified farmer, Lewis Clare's listening to this thinking, why can't they make a fucking film about me?
Well, you better do something fucking wild like he did. I mean, he just...
Yeah.
I think there's a story behind how it led to him buying the zoo, but he bought it. I don't know if he's still there now, but he's a lovely guy. And, it was quite stressful for him because, although he wasn't stressed at all when I was speaking to him, he was like... Yeah, he was like, yeah, the Lynx's still on the run. We'll get her in the end.
Oh. Well, it's not here.
I'll tell you that much. Don't blame me. I put up a fence. I didn't know she was going to burrow under it immediately. And and at one point, it was really out of order. Do you know what they did? This is the bit that I always remember. To try and flush her out, they played recordings of her mum's calling.
No way.
Yeah, they had a record. They got a recording of her mum calling her, and then they just put speak. I don't know. They got a fucking Amazon Alexa or something like that. A Beats pill, and they put it out on Dartmoor, blaring out. And apparently, and then they put food out near it, and apparently he just kept evading them. He'd come out, run out, get the food. Press stop on the Beats pill and fuck off back into the bushes again. You'll have to get up earlier in the morning to catch old Flavio than that, you cunts.
Fucking hell.
My mum's been dead for a year. I'm not that fucking stupid. I might be a lynx, but I'm not thick.
I managed to get out of that fucking zoo.
And frankly, I could understand you just doing your job trying to capture me in that, but that... is in bad taste.
That's embarrassing, to be honest. I'm embarrassed for you.
Try again, cunts. So
the Tamworth Two, sadly, of course, are no longer with us. Sundance passed away 7 months after the incident. No, she didn't. Butch died on age 13 in 2010. So when did this happen? 1998. Oh, they were young pigs then. They were just young'uns. So they lived a long life. They lived on for another 12 years after the incident. Butch died of old age. And Sundance passed away 7 months later. And they did make a TV series about them. It was a 60-minute drama called The Legend of the Tamworth Two. It's probably on YouTube. Don't know. So that's it from the Tamworth 2 and this section of the Pig Odyssey. There was some pig news I was going to bring you. I'll just bring you my favourite of all the stories.
Okay.
Because there were three I was going to look up, but there'll be more pig news next week. And this is from, you'll be delighted to hear, Ecuador from 10 days ago. Ecuadorian security forces have confiscated from a high security prison in Santo Domingo. They've confiscated pigs, fighting cocks, and more than 24 bladed weapons, among other items.
Fucking hell.
Police and operatives of the prison authority were shown wheeling out two pigs from the prison in images shared by Ecuador's military. Mm.
I'll tell you what's interesting about that. That reminds me of a book that I've been thinking about recently called The Damage Done by Rob.
There you go, Sam.
Oh, they're lovely. One's lying on top of the other, is he?
They're fucking massive.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah, I read this book years ago by a bloke called Warren Fellows called The Damage Done. I don't know if it's still in print or whether you can get it on Kindle, but it's holiday season. And if you're looking for a good holiday read, trust me, get this fucking book, right? When I read it, and this was before I'd read Elton John's book, it was probably the best book I'd ever read at the time. It's just a bit, it's called The Damage Done, 14 Years of Hell in a Thai Prison. Or it might, I can't remember the number of years, maybe it was 7 years. Anyway, yeah. It's like Midnight Express, but like times a million, right? It's fucking mad. This Australian geezer gets nicked for smuggling heroin and he gets banged up. And there's loads of fucking hilarious and mad things in it. But one of the things that always lived with me is that there were two pigs, right, on the prison farm. And there was a guy who served as their pimp, right, for these right. pigs. He was a pig pimp. And you had to pay him to get access to fuck the pigs, right? And this was really popular in the prison. People would fuck the pigs. But the bit that I always remember is that you had to pay extra to fuck the female pig. Right?
Right. Cool. Well, I mean, stands to reason, doesn't it?
I guess, but...
It's
when you're reduced to fucking a pig...
It's like getting nicer tomatoes across from Italy. Mm. It's market forces.
Yeah.
If the demand's there,
yeah.
the price is going to be higher.
It's a great book, though.
I'll see.
Honestly, it's not just pig fucking. There's all sorts of nonsense in there.
It is on Amazon. It's on... Get Peter back for £5.51. Mm. Used copy from 4p. It's on Kindle for just 99p.
Oh, honestly, I can't stress this enough.
I'm buying it now.
Get it. When my little sister, as I've probably bragged about many times, went to Oxford, and she got a double first in English from Oxford, right? Hardly anyone gets that, right? So when it comes to books and that, she's about as smart as you can get. But when she was 16, we were on holiday, and I said to her, she said something, I'll finish my book. And I went, how old are you now? She went 16. I said, I think you're old enough for this. It's the best book ever written. And I handed her my battered copy of The Damage Done. And she, for want of anything to read, like she didn't have any other books around, she was like, all right, I'll read it. She read it in one sitting. When she graduated with a double first from Oxford in English literature, I said to her, well, you fucking know your books now. What would you say is the best book ever? And she said, it remains The Damage Done by Warren Fellows.
Right, okay. There you go.
So
from an academic, no less.
That, like, she, I always, when it comes to books, I just think no one knows more than her. And she reckons it's the best fucking book ever. I mean, but I don't know if she's read Elton John's book. I haven't checked in with her on that recently. I might text her after last night's Glastonbury performance. I might text her and go, have you read it? I need you to read it pronto to tell me if you think it's better than Warren Fellows. But I tell you what, it's a close run thing.
Good. Well, I've just purchased it, so it'll get read over the summer at some point. Just getting back to the Ecuadorian prison. The authorities also removed 12 fighting cocks, 26 bladed weapons, 16 electrical items and other objects. And regarding the pigs and the fighting cocks, they refused to say how they ended up in there. But all's well, it ends well. The pigs have been sprung out of the Ecuadorian prison. And a bit like the Tamworth too. So it's all come full circle, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more pig stuff. I don't know what it'll be about. Suggestions of great pigs from history or great modern pigs. Get them into us and we'll look at them. Thank you very much for listening.
Oi.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.